time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome to AI Unraveled, November 19, 2025. Today, the gloves are off and the bubble is popping. We have a two-front war dominating the news. First, the most critical LLM battle yet. Google just launched Gemini 3.0 Pro, immediately outperforming GPT 5.1 on key benchmarks across academic reasoning and competitive coding. The crown is contested. Second, the financial anxiety is peaking. Peter Thiel and SoftBank have officially dumped their entire NVIDIA stakes, sending a clear, chilling signal about the stability of the AI bubble. We're dissecting the significance of this move and why the Perplexity OpenAI flop survey confirms the market jitters. Plus, Jeff Bezos is back with a $6.2 billion project aimed at rebuilding the global factory. But before we dive into today's strategic briefing, stop marketing to the masses. Start briefing the C-suite. You've seen the power of AI Unraveled, zero noise, high signal intelligence for the world's most critical AI builders. Now leverage our proven methodology to own the conversation in your industry. We create tailored proprietary podcasts designed exclusively to brief your executives and your most valuable clients. Stop wasting marketing spend on generic content. Start delivering must-listen strategic intelligence directly to the C-suite. Ready to define your domain? Secure your strategic podcast consultation now. Link in show notes. Now let's unravel the news.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today we are taking a look at just a single day of news, November 19th, 2025, which was, it was enormous.
Yeah.
And frankly, completely contradictory.
It really was.
We're going to use it to map out the strategic landscape of the entire AI sector. Because if you look at our sources for today, this industry is... Well, it's simultaneously hitting these incredible technological breakthroughs,
right,
while the very people funding it all seem to be staring down the barrel of a huge financial crisis.
And that tension, that's really the defining feature of this moment, isn't it? We're not talking about small incremental improvements. We are seeing these monumental strides in what AI can do.
In everything from physical manufacturing to emotional intelligence.
Exactly. But at the same time, you have the C-suite leaders, the major investors, you know, the people cutting the checks, and they are sending up these incredibly loud warning flares about financial stability, about inflated valuations, and a massive societal upheaval.
So our mission today is, well, it's pretty straightforward. We're going to dig into the hard evidence from this one day of news. Mm-hmm. We want to see where the real risk is, where the hype sort of runs out, and you know, crucially, where the knowledge economy is actually building its next, maybe shaky foundation. Okay, let's unpack this. Yeah. And I think we have to start with the sheer paranoia coming from the very top of big tech. The financial jitters are, they're palpable.
They are. And they're coming from the companies spending the most. Look at Alphabet CEO Sundar Pichai. He was speaking to the BBC and he was blunt.
He didn't pull any punches.
Not at all. He said current spending levels across the entire industry show, and this is a quote, elements of irrationality. That is a massive statement coming from him. He specifically warned that no tech business, not even Google, is immune if this AI bubble bursts like past crashes.
Okay, but here's the paradox, right? The thing we have to tackle immediately. Despite that incredibly stark warning, the same source confirms Google is pouring £5 billion into British infrastructure.
A new data center.
A new data center, specifically to boost DeepMind's research. It's the ultimate case of the short-term competitive threat just completely overriding any long-term financial concerns. They know the risk is there, but they just can't afford to slow down.
They can't. If they hit the brakes to wait out the bubble, their rivals just blow past them. It's the highest stakes game of chicken in corporate history. And Pichai wasn't just worried about money. He admitted two huge constraints that come from this speed.
What were they?
First, he acknowledged that corporate climate goals will slip. They have to. The skyrocketing electricity consumption of these massive AI systems makes it almost inevitable.
That's a staggering environmental cost.
It is. And the second constraint hits the user directly. He cautioned that even their most advanced models are still prone to errors. He's basically telling you, the user, do not treat these things as perfect sources of truth.
So the models aren't perfect, and the climate is paying the price for the speed.
That's the trade-off.
And that brings us from the financial bubble to, well, the societal one. While Pichai is worried about share prices collapsing, you have Anthropic CEO Dario Amodei focused on human disruption.
Right. He talks about us entering a compressed 21st century. His view is that the rate of progress is now 10 times what it was.
Which leads to things we all want, right? Like cancer cures, maybe doubling the human lifespan.
The promise is absolutely utopian, but it's the downside that makes him, and he said this, deeply uncomfortable. Amodei is worried that control over these huge, life-altering decisions rests with just a handful of executives. You know, people like him and Sam Altman.
So he's calling for regulation.
He is. He's calling for responsible and thoughtful regulation. He's basically saying, we cannot be trusted to police ourselves on this.
And the job forecast he repeated, I mean, that's got to be terrifying for any knowledge worker listening.
Mm-hmm.
He projected AI could get rid of half of all entry-level white-collar jobs.
Half. And when the guy building the technology describes the shift as broad and faster than any other technological revolution we've ever seen, you know, you have to take that seriously.
So if we connect that fear, the job fear, to the financial side of things,
it all clicks into place. The fear of a market bubble isn't just theory anymore. It's showing up in these huge, visible shifts in investor behavior, especially when you look at the AI hardware king, NVIDIA.
Right. NVIDIA has been the undisputed winner of this whole AI gold rush. But now it seems like the big money is just stampeding for the exits. Why?
The skepticism is just overwhelming. We saw a whole series of shock announcements. Peter Thiel's hedge fund, Thiel Macro, completely zeroed out its stake.
How much was that?
Over 537,000 shares, about $94 million. But the really big one was SoftBank. They sold off their entire stake.
Wow.
32.1 million shares worth over $5.8 billion. Gone.
But wait, didn't they just trade one speculative bet for an even riskier one? The reports say they used that cash to back a massive $22.5 billion investment in OpenAI.
They did.
That just feels like shifting from hardware speculation to, I don't know, foundational model speculation. What's the thinking there?
That's the key insight. The fear isn't that AI itself is failing. It's that the hardware prices are artificially inflated. And this brings us back to that anxiety over circular financing deals.
The shell game.
The shell game. Investors like Michael Burry, famous for predicting the housing crash, his firm just revealed $1.1 billion in put options against NVIDIA, a huge bet against the stock. They're worried this whole thing is a house of cards.
Okay, so could you break down what this shell game looks like to a worried investor?
Sure. At its simplest, it's money moving in a circle. Fund A invests a ton of money into, say, model company B.
Like OpenAI.
Exactly. Then model company B uses that cash to buy millions of dollars in expensive chips from hardware company C, NVIDIA. And very often, hardware company C has a stake in or is tied to Fund A.
So the revenue looks fantastic for the hardware company.
Right. But the customer, the model company, doesn't have any real paying customers yet. The whole ecosystem is just propped up by venture capital, not actual product sales.
Which explains why the attendees at the Cerebral Valley AI conference, you know, the people at ground zero for this stuff, voted Perplexity and OpenAI as the most likely to flop.
They see the shaky foundations up close. For Perplexity, the challenge is pretty clear. They rely on foundational models from their competitors, like OpenAI and Google.
So it's hard to convince people to pay.
Almost impossible when a free option like Google's Gemini does something very similar.
And OpenAI's problem is way bigger, right? They've signed on for $1.4 trillion in infrastructure commitments. They're running a massive deficit that has to be fixed. And fast.
Precisely. They need real long-term revenue streams to justify that valuation. And their solution, according to OpenAI CEO of applications, Fijie Saimo, is to turn ChatGPT into a super app.
Not just a chatbot.
No, not just a chatbot. The pitch is a team of integrated agents, a financial advisor, a personal shopper, a travel planner, all working together inside ChatGPT to justify a much, much higher subscription cost.
That's a fascinating strategy. Monetize the capability, not just the conversation. But let's look at the breakthroughs that are actually justifying a $1.4 trillion spending spree. This is the LLM battleground.
And Google just launched Gemini 3 Pro.
a major escalation.
A huge escalation. It's being advertised as natively multimodal. And what that really means is it processes text, images, and audio all at the same time without translating between different parts of the model.
Which lets it do some incredible things.
Yeah, like instantly turning a few photos of ingredients into a full interactive cookbook or creating flashcards from a lecture you recorded. It's seamless.
And for subscribers, they're getting those new agentic capabilities. An agent that can, what, research your travel for you, organize your inbox.
Exactly, without needing step-by-step instructions. And the engineers also say they've reduced cacophony. It's the model's tendency to just agree with you or give you empty flattery. They're aiming for more useful, less pliable responses. And the sources confirm the competition is so fierce. A Gemini 3.0 Pro versus GPT 5.1 benchmark showdown is already running.
And that's likely where the next big chunk of money from SoftBank and others is going to land.
You have to assume so.
But what's fascinating here is that Google is being immediately and forcefully challenged by xAI with the launch of Grok 4.1.
This is a huge launch. They trained Grok using large-scale reinforcement learning and automated evaluators, all to refine the model for complex, multi-step problem solving.
And the performances, I mean, it's outstanding. The new QuasarFlex reasoning variant is already at the top of the Elmarina leaderboard. What does QuasarFlex even mean?
It's their internal name for an optimization that helps the model handle much longer chains of reasoning without losing the context or contradicting itself. It makes it dramatically better at things like strategic planning or complex physics problems.
But the real leap here isn't just about reasoning. It's the human element. Grok 4.1 got top rankings on EQ Bench 3 by showing a better grasp of grief and interpersonal vulnerability.
Think about that.
And AI is now being scored on how well it processes complex human emotion. That's a fundamentally different product from the chatbots we had even 6 months ago.
It is. And crucially for the accuracy problem that Pichai warned us about, Grok's engineers got the hallucination rate down to about 4% for information-seeking prompts.
4%?
Hitting single digits is a massive technical achievement. It directly tackles that skepticism about reliability. Okay, so let's pivot for a second, away from just making these foundational models bigger and bigger. What's fascinating is that a lot of innovation is now being driven by specialized applications, by cost, and by entering the physical world.
We've been tracking this trend of smaller models, and the sources confirm they are really gaining traction. The argument is that bigger isn't always better.
Right. Small models, we're talking millions to low billions of parameters, are just cheaper to build and run. They need way fewer GPUs, and you can often run them right on a phone.
And they're actually proving to be better for certain high-stakes tasks.
They are. IBM research showed that for financial tasks, small models achieved 100% output consistency. This means they avoid that conceptual drift you sometimes get with huge generalized models.
The slight variations in the output.
Exactly. For production systems where you need perfect reliability and audit trails, this really challenges the idea that only massive models can deliver real enterprise value.
And this specialization is being monetized right now in huge ways. We have the Intuit deal with OpenAI.
Yes, a $100 million multi-year deal. This is a huge voter confidence. It lets Intuit's core products, so TurboTax, QuickBooks, Credit Karma, operate directly inside ChatGPT.
So with my permission, a ChatGPT agent can look at my financial data too.
To estimate your tax refund in real time. Or send a targeted MailChimp campaign based on your QuickBooks cash flow.
The convenience there is obvious. But let's just pause on the risk. If TurboTax's AI estimation, running inside ChatGPT, causes a massive tax penalty, who takes the hit?
And that is the gaping legal hole. The sources are very clear. Liability for AI errors is completely unclarified.
So is it Intuit's fault or OpenAI's?
We don't know. Does Intuit take the liability because they provided the financial platform, or does OpenAI take it because they provided the foundational model? Until regulators step in, this $100 million deal is operating on a huge unspoken risk assumption.
That's a crucial point of friction. Okay, let's shift focus completely now to the physical world, which is where Jeff Bezos is aiming with Project Prometheus.
A massive $6.2 billion launch into what he's calling AI for the physical economy. This is not about building smarter chatbots.
No, this is about intelligent production engines.
Intelligent production engines that can design, simulate, and then fabricate things in the real world almost autonomously. Prometheus is targeting the deepest, slowest parts of industry aerospace, automotive, material science. The whole vision is AI-driven design loops that cut hardware development time from years down to weeks.
So it's his blueprint to turn the global factory into software.
Exactly. It's about collapsing the R&D and manufacturing timelines. Instead of engineers iterating for months, the AI runs billions of simulations, finds the optimal design for a new engine part, and sends the final blueprint straight to an automated factory. It completely changes the timescale of the global supply chain.
And as everything scales up, so does the threat. We have to touch on the security angle. Microsoft's Azure DDoS protection just blocked the largest DDoS attack ever recorded.
15.72 terabits per second. It's just an astronomical number. The attack came from the Isuru botnet.
And that used, what, 500,000 compromised devices?
Over 500,000. It's pulling computing power from unsuspecting home routers, webcams, you know, small cameras. The attackers are leveraging the scale of the IoT world to create these threats that are almost impossible to detect.
And finally, let's bring it back to that conversation we started with, Amadee's job forecast. Google just dropped something called Google Gravity.
This is really significant. Google Gravity is an agentic development platform. That means it can autonomously plan and execute complex tasks. Specifically, it writes, runs, and tests code for software developers.
Which, the source notes, dramatically accelerates the replacement of a lot of engineers.
It does, because instead of needing dozens of mid-level coders to write and debug every little feature, a small handful of very skilled people can just supervise Google Gravity as it does the bulk of the work. It's a force multiplier, but for a much smaller team.
So what does all this mean? We have financial leaders warning about an imminent bubble, huge investors selling their NVIDIA stakes.
Yeah.
But at the exact same time, we have breakthroughs, like Grok 4.1 achieving emotional intelligence and Project Prometheus accelerating change tenfold. It's just the ultimate high-risk, high-reward moment.
I think the critical shift, though, isn't just the AI being built. It's how society is reacting to the overwhelming amount of unfiltered information and claims that AI itself is helping to amplify.
You see that perfectly in that viral claim of Google anti-gravity mm-hmm. that was mentioned in the source material. Completely unverified by anyone reliable, but it just spread like wildfire on social platforms.
Exactly. And that viral spread highlights this new reality. AI amplified hype and misinformation are now a serious, serious societal problem. The speed and believability of these claims demand a drastic response. So consider this provocative final thought. The AI itself, through things like claim matching, RIGS explainers, and deepfake forensics models, is now being rapidly deployed as the filter against the very misinformation it helped create. Can we truly trust the tools causing the problem to also provide the solution? That's the question you have to keep asking as you navigate this new, highly volatile economy.
And that wraps up our daily strategic briefing. If you take one thing away from today, let it be this. The AI infrastructure race is giving way to the AI value race. It's no longer about who owns the most hardware, but whose models perform best and whose business model is actually sustainable. The market signals from the NVIDIA sell-off and the Perplexity flop vote demand that you stop focusing on hype and start demanding measurable ROI from your AI investments. The Gemini 3.0 Pro versus GPT 5.1 battle proves that the LLM landscape shifts every single day. Stay plugged in, stay strategic. For a deeper breakdown of the benchmarks, the full list of keywords, and the links to our newsletters, check the show notes. And don't forget to subscribe to our free daily strategic briefings on Apple Podcasts, link in show notes. If you are ready to lead the conversation in your sector, click the link in the description to book your strategic podcast consultation with me. This podcast is researched, produced, and hosted by Etienne Noumen, senior software engineer and passionate soccer dad reporting from Canada. Until tomorrow, stay strategic. This is AI Unraveled.